Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Outreach with Reggie. My name is Reggie Holloway, and if this is your first time listening to Outreach, welcome. It is a pleasure to have you here. And while you are here, hopefully you can find comfort, a nice cushion, if you will, an answer to some of the questions you've been looking for, resources that you can find. I'm thankful that you've chosen this podcast to be that for you. Maybe even just a space just to listen. And for those returning, welcome back. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be talking about chosen family. Family that aren't related by blood, but by related by experience, by decisions to understand, to love, to care, to see you, and still choose to love you anyway. We're going to be talking about what chosen family, how are they defined, how do they happen, and solutions to find your own sense of community. But with that being said, today's episode, I feel like it's going to be a good special one. So stay tuned, relax, grab your favorite snack, and enjoy. And this is an episode of Outreach with Reggie. There are some rooms we are taught never to speak about. Rooms where voices were raised. Rooms where silence did more damage than shouting. Rooms where love was conditional. Rooms where you learned very early how to disappear. And for many of us, those rooms were called home. Once again, welcome to Outreach with Reggie. Today's episode is not light. It's not trendy. And it's not designed to make anyone comfortable. At least for those who find themselves evading the truth. Because it is designed to tell the truth. Because for far too long, people have been told that family must be honored at the cost of their mental health, their safety, their dignity, and sometimes their very own lives. And if that sentence made your chest tighten, this episode is for you. So, as we begin, we must first name the truth. Because before we even talk about solutions, before we talk about healing, before we talk about reconciliation or boundaries or forgiveness, we have to name the truth. Because healing does not begin with pretending. For many people, home was not safe. Not emotionally, not psychologically, not spiritually, sometimes not even physically. And yet we live in a culture that treats family as sacred no matter what happens behind closed doors. We say things like, they're still your mother. He's still your father. That's just how families are, you know. Blood is thicker than water. But no one ever asks, is it safe? Is it healthy? Is it life-giving? And if you grew up in an unsafe home, you learned something very early, that survival often means silence. But let me be clear about something. This experience is far from rare. It is not dramatic, and it's not an exaggeration. It is statistically common. According to the National Child Welfare and Mental Health Data Report, One in seven children in the United States experience abuse or neglect every single year. More than half of adults report growing up in homes marked by emotional neglect, homes where feelings were dismissed, minimized, or punished. One in four adults is estranged from at least one immediate family member, and adults who grew up in unsafe homes are three times more likely to experience anxiety, depression, and complex trauma later in their life. These are not made up or fake stories to tell you. These are millions of people quietly carrying wounds they were never told to name. And that's a very unfortunate, because within all these things, experiencing these very critical things in early in your childhood, we start to believe the lies that come with it. And here are the lies that people keep getting stuck on and stuck to. That love requires access. That forgiveness requires proximity. That healing requires going back to the place that broke you. But psychologically, but psychology, neuroscience, and trauma research tells us something very different. Repeated exposure to unsafe people, yes, even family, reinforces trauma responses. Your nervous system does not care about your titles. It cares about your safety. Your body does not respond to obligation. It responds to threat. If your body braces every time someone calls, if your chest tightens when holidays come around, if you disassociate in conversations that are normal to everyone else, that is not rebellion. That is wisdom. So my next segment, I'll be talking about what does unsafe family systems look like. So stay tuned. Unsafe family systems are not always loud. Sometimes they are quiet. Sometimes they are polished. Sometimes they appear to look like success from the outside. On social media is the greatest example of that. We see families of 3, 4, 5, big families. They have all the riches in the world and they look happy and they're laughing together. But once that camera goes off, and social media is turned off for the day, that's when the curtain comes down and then there you are. But here are what unsafe families and structures and systems look like. Chronic invalidation, gaslighting, emotional manipulation, conditional love, punishment for those boundaries that you set. Silence to use as control. Oh, no. We don't talk about that. That is what that looks like. And here's the part people don't like to hear. You can love people dearly and still acknowledge that they're unsafe for you. Those two truths can exist at the exact same time. Which goes into my next part. Why just forgive is not a solution? Why just forgive is not a solution? Forgiveness has been weaponized. People are told, if you forgive, you'll heal. If you forgive, you'll be free. If you forgive, everything will be better. But forgiveness without boundaries is not healing. It is self-abandonment. Forgiveness is internal. Access is relational. You can forgive someone and still decide they do not get to harm you again. You can release bitterness and still choose distance. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. Forgiveness does not mean reconciling. Forgiveness does not mean pretending it didn't happen. So with that being said, if all these things are coming along, what do we do? So now we talk solutions. Not platitudes, not spiritual bypassing, not toxic positivity. Real, grounded, evidence-based solution. And the first solution is redefining safety. What does safety look like? Safety is not the absence of conflict. Safety is the presence of respect. Safe relationships include accountability, consistency, emotional repair, boundaries without retaliation. In safe relationships, you're not punished for having needs. You're not mocked for having feelings. You're not labeled difficult for asking for respect. If someone apologizes but keeps repeating the same behaviors, that's not repair, that's manipulation. Solution 2. Chosen family is not a consolation prize. Chosen family is not second best. They're not somebody who, they'll do. Chosen family is more intentional than that. It is intentional connection. Research shows that people with even one emotional safe adult in their life have dramatically better mental health outcomes. One person equals one anchor in one place where you're allowed to be your true, authentic self. Chosen family is also built slow. Not through intensity, not through trauma bonding, but through consistency, consistently showing up. You watch how people respond when you say no. You notice who stays steady. You observe who respects your boundaries. Because chosen family is built over time, not empty promises. Solution number 3, boundaries without explanation. You do not owe everyone your story. Boundaries are not punishments. They are instructions for how to love. You're allowed to say, I'm not discussing that. I need space right now. I'm leaving if this becomes disrespectful. I'm not available for that relationship anymore. And here's the hard truth. People who benefited from your lack of boundaries will not like them. That does not mean your boundaries are wrong. It means they're working. Solution number 4. This is where deep healing happens. And this is reparenting yourself. Reparenting means giving yourself what you did not receive consistently. Give yourself the gift of gentleness. Be gentle with yourself. Structure. Safety. Care. It means speaking to yourself the way a healthy parent would. It means resisting without guilt. It means choosing nourishment over punishment. Research shows that self-compassion and internal safety dramatically reduces trauma symptoms over time. because you are not weak for needing this. Not at all. You're human. So in my next segment, I'll be going into the foster care system and adoption reality, and even more so reconciling with your family after adoption and foster care. So stay tuned for that. For those of us who are connected to foster care or adoption, chosen family is not theoretical. It is survival. And as someone who spent close to 17 years in foster care, this one hits home for me too. Adoption does not erase trauma. Permanency does not automatically equal safety. Love does not automatically heal attachment wounds. Former foster youth who lack supportive adults are significantly more likely to experience homelessness, incarceration, and mental health crisis. But foster and adoptive individuals who build chosen family networks experience greater stability, resilience, and long-term well-being. Family is not defined by paperwork. It is defined by presence. I'll share a bit of my story. I grew up in Georgia's foster care system from 2002 to 2004, and again from 2005 to 2019, aging out of care. I had, I balanced from place to place growing up in both foster homes and group homes. And I even went on Wednesday's Child, which is the adoption agency's place where they showcase the kid for adoption. And a lot of those adoption homes fell through because I still carried the trauma. I still carried trauma from wanting things to be different with my mom, wanting things to be different regarding my biological family, dreaming of if things were different, only to wake up to the reality that things weren't. And as I carried that trauma throughout my time in care and even into my adulthood, I realized that no one was coming for my biological family, much so towards the end of my collegiate career, and I found some good friends. I ended up realizing how that trauma was climbing up, and I was only able to keep it down for so long before it ate at me. What helped was around 20, I found a great mentor, and mentors would come up. And at first, I rejected the idea of having mentors or people in my life because I was so used to that cycle of wanting to trust people, but because of how I grew up and what my biological family was and not having them in my life, it wasn't easy for me to open up to people, share my story without being laughed at or ridiculed. But they listened. They truly cared. And when I visited my grandmother and grandfather's home that I was removed from when I was much, much younger, and realized I didn't have too many memories like I thought it would. I didn't have the emotional pull anymore. I realized then that, you know, it was time to start the healing phase. Even when I had the opportunity to reconnect with my mom, before she passed away last year, I wanted to make the right steps towards healing. And through support of my chosen family, through mentors, through professors, through friends, I felt better because I felt seen. I felt heard. I found my community. And through my community, I found a good chosen family. So with that being said, I'm going to move directly into when reconciliation oftentimes isn't the goal. So, as some families do heal, some never take real accountability. Healing does not always end in reunion. Sometimes healing looks like peace without proximity. Sometimes it looks like grief without shame. Sometimes it looks like choosing yourself for the very first time. And if you're grieving the family you wish you had, that grief is very valid. And I will say to that, you are not dramatic for grieving. You're not ungrateful for not wanting to reconcile. And you are not broken for feeling the effects of not having that idea, that reality that you pictured in your mind for so long of what family should have been. You're human. You know, one of the things that I learned when I reconciled with my family earlier this month, is the fact that it's not going to be as picture perfect. I remember I'm thinking, meeting my family after the 20 years, that, oh, it's going to be like Antoine Fisher, because his story reminds me about my story. And I grew up like he grew up, and I dealt with things like he dealt with things. And luckily enough, you know, I didn't go to the Navy, but, you know, I need to find my family. And when I met my family, I realized that it's okay. Just like he realized it was okay too. I have them in my life and I'm grateful for them. They're not active in my life, but I know them now. And I have many of them that passed. My mom, my dad, and many other members who I'll never get a chance to meet. But I did get a chance to reconcile and talk to my mom, which was very important to me. And I've had the opportunity to take time to really come in patience with that, to come to grips with that. It's okay to realize that even within reunion, reconciling, it's okay if the result of it is that you respectfully go a different way. Because you can choose your family still. And I'm grateful. I think it's great. There's gratitude and reconciliation of the family that I have, that I have met. And there's also a beauty in knowing the family that I was able to make along the way. And I'm grateful for you, too. I don't know what this podcast truly means to anybody. Being realistic, I speak into a microphone at my desk weekly. And I spread it out to every media facet I know. But I'm grateful to put positive things into this world. And if any of these episodes that I've released throughout the totality has affected you in any type of way, positively, thank you for choosing me, because you are my chosen family too. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this is the last episode of 2025. And as we wrap up 2025, And as we wrap up this episode, ask yourself, who makes me feel calm? Who listens without correcting me? Who respects my no? Who feels safe when I'm honest? Then ask yourself, how can I invest more deeply there? Because healing does not come from forcing unsafe people to change. It comes from choosing safety consistently. So as we close this episode, and as we close the year 2025, because the next time you hear from me, it'll be a brand new year, 2026. If you had to leave home to survive, that being college, to go to college, to go to a different city, to go to a different state and or country, you are not disloyal. If you built family out of fragments, you are not broken. If you chosen peace over tradition, you're not selfish. You are brave. And the family you chose, the one built on safety, respect, and love, is just sacred. So, as I leave you today, I want to say thank you for choosing yourself. Thank you for choosing family, relationships, friendships, loved ones, environments and spaces that you can find comfort in that truly love you. Thank you for choosing you. Thank you for choosing to gift yourself self-care daily, because I know it's not hard. I know it's hard for you. I know it's hard. But your endurance to choose yourself daily, to pour into yourself, to speak life into yourself daily, I applaud you and I am so proud of you. So thank you. Thank you for choosing you. And thank you for choosing this podcast this year. I'm thankful for each and every one of you, and I want to let you know I'm proud of you. Thank you so much. This has been Reggie Holloway, Outreach with Reggie. Rate the podcast on the prospective ones. Tune in to the next episode. Take care. Peace out. Much love. Happy New Year. See you in 2026. And goodbye.